I'm here with my dear friend, Dr. Harry Brown, the founder of SEE International. And SEE International, thanks to Harry's work, has brought sight to over 450,000 people throughout the world in over 70 countries during the last 45 years. And I feel deeply honored that Harry is my friend, and he's willing to spend a bit of time here in Santa Barbara, reflecting upon some of the stories of his extraordinary trip and voyage in life. So Harry, thanks so much for here. And mainly this is to sort of let you tell your story. So here we are, let's begin. Perhaps begin with a story of one where in which you actually were able to turn the lights on, as it will, for someone or people who have been blind all their lives.
Well, there are many of them, as you might imagine. Our SEE International organization coordinates small teams of eye surgeons globally who have the skills, the frequently the means, but don't have the time to devote many of these sight-restoring capabilities to their patients because of a whole host of problems. Lack of access, the operating rooms, the lack of equipment, poor instruments, scarcity of medications, et cetera, et cetera. Recognizing some of that, I sought to build a program that eliminated many of these things that could be repetitive and repeated over and over and over again. And so SEE International was that result.
Harry, can I ask you, where did you get the idea for SEE International? Can you reflect a little bit on how it came to you?
Sure. Of course, going through training to be an ophthalmologist, and I was trained at the Jules Stein Eye Institute at UCLA. You have at your disposal the finest equipment, the finest instruction, the best knowledge about these things. So I was fortunate enough to be involved with and accepted it as a resident at Jules Stein Eye Institute. During that time, I got interested in international ophthalmology. I wanted to work with doctors under their conditions, under their restrictions, under their lack of resources, see if we couldn't develop a program that could bring sight to especially patients blind with cataracts, which are a clouding of the crystalline lens of the eye. And so most of the patients we operate on have been blind in both eyes for sometimes decades. So with that challenge, then how do you develop a program that's practical in terms of time and the various key things that have to be available if sophisticated eye surgery is going to be done? You have to have trained personnel. In any event, I got interested in international ophthalmology during my training, and that resulted in taking getting an invitation to go to South Africa and work with the South African Department of Ophthalmology at the University of Witwatersrand for 6 months. But my family, wife, and I had basically run out of money. We sold the second car, etc. So I dismissed the idea of that. And then several months later, I thought, what the heck, I wonder what it would cost to fly from Los Angeles to Johannesburg and back. So I said, well, the only way to find out is to call a travel agent. So I said, say what would it cost to fly from from Los Angeles to Johannesburg and return. That would be me, my wife, and my four children. And travel agent said, well, doctor, I'll look that up and call you back in a few hours. And he did. And he said, Dr. Brown, he said, that'll cost you $6,000. This was about 1997 or 70, 77, 78. And, I'm sorry, 1967. And I was quiet. And he said, doctor, for $4,000 more, you can go around the world. And so I thought, what the heck? I don't have the six, I don't have the 10, I'm going to do it.
That's great. And,
so that was really the initial commitment to fulfill the realization and all that you could actually leave your environment. And I have a sneeze on it. And really contribute something if it were set up in the proper way. At any rate, as it turned out, we did go around the world. I did work with the South African Department of Ophthalmology at University of Witwatersrand, Johannesburg, for 6 months. Made flying weekend trips into Swaziland with volunteer surgical specialists on weekends. And worked with the South African Council for the Blind and their Outback program several times. And I took the family with me every place we'd go. My responsibilities were working at the St. John Eye Hospital, a 100-bed eye hospital that took the complicated cases from Namibia, Botswana, Mozambique, Swaziland. I'm leaving out somebody. And one of the African countries on the coast. At any rate, it was the experience was amazing, and the number of complicated cases and things presented.
Let me just interject here. When I was a child, my parents took me to Dr. Schweitzer's hospital in Lambarene. We were on a trip, and my father was always interested in Bach, and I was brought up with the stories of Dr. Schweitzer and his commitment to Christianity. And it was primarily, I think it was a missionary zeal or passion and compassion that brought Dr. Schweitzer to, in those days, to go to really Africa, which was completely almost in those days uncharted, and devote himself, as it ultimately ended up his life, to helping the poorest of the poor in Africa. In Lambarene. Was yours, it sounds like at one hand you were interested as a physician in the medical problems of, as you say, international ophthalmology. Was there a religious motive on top of it, or what is it that drove you to want to do this?
Well, it was not religious as such. Humanitarian, yes, but certainly not religious. But the challenge presented itself was one that had a solution, but the elements had to be put together in the correct way to take advantage of that. And so out of all of this trip and travel, I realized that what had had to be done. Yeah, I'm going to need to go to the boys.
Okay.